We are back in for hour two of the game. John, Tyler, Mitch, whole crew here with you. You can't be serious at 5:50. 5:40, biggest upset of the sports weekend. Guarantee you did not pick that up. How far off the grid I was at 5:25. We put me to the test before the show actually started today, so we'll play that back for you. And coming up here in just a moment, we'll talk about Wesley Wundu and DJ Johnson. Very surprising story about DJ Johnson and Wesley Wundu. Had some ups and downs at the Combine. The game KMAN on Twitter. If you have questions or comments, you can also call the show 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Before we get to DJ Johnson, which to me was probably the most surprising thing I saw in getting back into the flow of things earlier today, Wesley Wundu at the NBA Combine was something that I tried to keep tabs on a bit. Now, I was legitimately off the grid, but a couple times I did Twitter search Wesley Wundu's name to see what was coming in from NBA beat writers and those that were covering the NBA Combine in Chicago. So I had somewhat of an idea there. And I know I saw the K-State men's basketball official account put out his measurables, which that is where we'll start here, because if you're talking about the good for Wesley Wundu at the NBA Draft Combine, how about a 7'1 wingspan?
Yeah, that'll work
for him. Now, he measured in at just 6'5 and a half. K-State has listed him at 6'7, but we know how these things work, and we always see that one, you bump him up a handful of inches anyway for the school, and then they're probably going to measure him with shoes. Most of the time you're getting measured in these scenarios without shoes. Remember Michael Beasley was under 6'8, I want to say, just barely at the NBA Combine when he's being listed at 6'11 here at K-State, so it was not that big of a discrepancy. But I think really the 7'1 wingspan just makes up for anything that you might be disappointed in as far as his size is concerned. That's why Wesley Wundu has always been such a tantalizing, I guess, quote-unquote prospect player here at K-State, because of stuff like that. I mean, we didn't know necessarily that he had a 7'1 wingspan, but if you just look at his build and his athleticism, that falls in line with what you would expect, and that's why you always, almost no matter what Wesley Wundu did, you could always sit there and say, I want more, because he just has NBA-type measurables.
And he can play defense at an NBA level. I mean, that's something that he brings to the table that I think a lot of other prospects don't. You look at guys that are expected to go like in the top five of the draft, like Alonzo Ball. Yeah, I mean, those are all offensive-minded guys and not necessarily the nitty-gritty defensive players. And we've seen from Wesley Wundu that he can guard just about anybody on the floor and do a serviceable job. So that combined with his measurables is what has put him into this place in the first place of potentially being drafted.
Well, and the other thing that has really helped improve his stock that we hear about all the time is the shot, which, you know, was decidedly better his senior year at K-State and looked completely different. He did impress in shooting drills at the Combine. That was some early buzz I'd seen about him. These are just, you know, individual-type drills, so it's a lot different than being out there in live action when they were going 5-on-5, which more on that in a moment. But he was in the top 10 of two of the shooting drills, shooting off the dribble and spot-up shooting, which would lend some credence to the fact that his jump shot is legitimately better. So there's the good for Wesley Wundu at the Combine. But we transition into the bad with he really struggled shooting the ball when they were actually out there going 5-on-5. So they're taking these prospects here at the Combine, just having them actually play. And I saw a box score from when Wesley Wundu was out there, and he was on the floor for 20 minutes, went 0-for-5 from the floor, 0-for-1 from 3. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist, 3 turnovers, and 4 fouls. So the stat line, I mean, there's no real way to spin that. That's not great. That's going to hurt him. And that, to me, doesn't surprise me all that much, and I don't mean that as a real knock against Wesley Wundu. But before I expand upon that, I'll just roll through the rest of this here. I just saw some of the tweets that were coming out from NBA reporters and NBA writers. Here was one. It said, tough camp for Wesley Wundu. Defends, has vision and tools, but lack of a consistent jumper really handicaps him as a scorer. Here's another one. Big names in the draft who for sure struggled. Melo Trimble, Wesley Wundu, Cam Oliver, Nigel Hayes. And then a third that I found. I'm a Wesley Wundu fan, but rough week for him. Has upside, but got to fix his jumper. Bothered by speed, athleticism, and outplayed by PJ Dozier. So the whole cornucopia of what you have there of Wesley Wundu at the NBA Draft Combine is about what I would have expected. I would have expected him to impress in some ways with his measurables and, you know, some of the just not getting out there and playing an actual game I would think that Wesley Wonder would perform pretty well in those types of spots, especially when you're talking about a guy who's going to play the one through the three, wingspan like that, the size that he has, even though it was not 6'7", still 6'5 and a half, that's more than good enough to play the one or the two, certainly, in the NBA. But we've been sitting here for a while saying, hey, it's really pretty surprising to most in Manhattan that Wesley Iwundu has turned himself into what looks like a bona fide NBA draft prospect. And that's because we've seen the ups and downs here for 4 years. It's been just a lot of inconsistency. And even his senior year, it took until the last 2 weeks where the light switch really flipped and he became elevated another level or two above what we had even seen before that throughout his senior year. So just because of that, he's so new getting into this territory of actually filling into a bona fide NBA draft prospect, I would expect that there's still going to be a lot of bumpiness and a lot of twists and turns and a lot of ups and downs when it comes to him being out on the floor against a bunch of guys who are NBA caliber.
And I would imagine that in his interviews with teams, he's saying, look, don't pay as much attention to what I do in these five-on-five drills because those are nine other players on the floor that I've never played with before. Pay more attention to what I actually did on the floor at K-State. But even when you do that, it goes back to, like you mentioned, a lack of consistency there. You know, it was certainly not unheard of for him to go 0-for-5 and 0-for-1 in a game at K-State from time to time. But then he can also turn it around and go, 6-for-9 pretty easily in another game. So he will point to those things and say, look, when I'm playing within the system that I know very well, when I'm playing with players that I know and have worked with, it's a lot better. And he's going to try to sell that to teams. We're going to have to see how much weight that actually holds.
Yeah, and I'm with you pretty much on all that for Wesley Iwundu. He's had games in his career here at K-State where he had the game against number one Oklahoma a couple of years ago where he was just phenomenal. He's being interviewed on SportsCenter after that because of the way he defended and the way he scored in that game. He shut down Buddy Hield. So he has some impressive games on his college resume, but also just games where you barely knew he was there. There was a Texas Tech game at the end of the game. He has the bad turnover. There were a number of different things that you could put in both columns for Wesley Iwundu, but the saving grace here is, and I don't mean to make this, hey, Wesley Iwundu's really not that good. We've been proven wrong about Wesley Iwundu, and that is definitive. None of us, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel pretty sincere in saying none of us thought he was going to be, at this point, being talked about as a legit draft pick and invited to the NBA Combine, so he's proven us wrong. And the real saving grace that he has here is, I mean, what's the NBA draft all about? What's the NBA always all about? It's about that P word, potential. Mm-hmm. Potential. And what Wesley Iwundu has, regardless of a bad line in a box score going out there 5-on-5 at the combine, is he has potential because of his size, the 7-1 wingspan, the fact that he has at least improved the shot to a point now where it's respectable enough, and you would think that you could work from there with that. But, I mean, look at a guy like Rodney Magruder. This is how I'll exemplify that point. I mean, who had a more productive college career, Rodney Magruder or Wesley Iwundu?
Magruder, by a wide margin.
And Magruder, all that earned him was a four-year long winding road of playing in the D-League and playing overseas and absolutely grinding and grinding for at least 4 years before he finally gets into the NBA and now is having an NBA career. Whereas Wesley Iwundu, way more up and down throughout his college career, won far less games, scored less points. Didn't have the All-Big 12 honors that Rodney Magruder did, and now he is likely going to be a guy that is drafted. And that is how the NBA really works. And it's been something that, as a fan who grew up not in an NBA market, not paying all that much attention to the NBA, that's always been a tougher thing for me to wrap my head around, and I think that goes for a lot of people here. But I would just say, to close here on Wesley Iwundu, this does not surprise me because of what we had seen from his career, but that does not mean things are over at all for Iwundu, because teams can still see the potential there, and you can still sell the potential of Wesley Iwundu with some of what he did at the NBA Combine. The other thing we'll sneak in here, K-State basketball related, I tweeted this earlier today, and I didn't see this until just recently, but DJ Johnson, we knew he was going to work out for the Bears, and there were NFL teams interested in DJ Johnson. They're loaded at tight end. The Bears feel good about where they're at tight end, and that's what everybody thought for DJ at the next level, tight end, he's a guy who's dabbled in that in high school, was a very good high school football player. And every basketball player that gets tried out for the NBA, it's always to be a tight end. You know, Rico Gathers, Thomas Gibson, whoever it's going to be, they think they can be a tight end. Well, the Bears decided to work DJ Johnson out at outside linebacker because they have so much depth at tight end right now. He left rookie minicamp without a contract. That does not mean it's over. They could still call him back at some point and actually continue to go down that road with him. But, I mean, first of all, tip of the cap for DJ Johnson for being willing to go try and work out there at outside linebacker. And I could see, I mean, do you want DJ Johnson running at you trying to tackle you?
Yeah, I would watch that.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of trying to defend him in coverage is a daunting enough thought. But to me, almost with his, you know, just how big and cut up he is, like having him come downhill running at you, I could see how you would feel like there is potential there in him being a linebacker. Thing I worry about there is just the terminology and knowing what to do in pass coverage. I mean, there's a lot of cerebral stuff that would go along with being an outside linebacker, I would think, that makes it more difficult than playing tight end. Now, the thing that you don't have to have then is good hands. You know, I mean, if you're going to be a tight end, you can have all that athleticism in the world, but if you're not used to catching footballs, don't have the hands, that can be a big problem. So there are pros and cons to either side of this, but at least DJ Johnson is getting a look at multiple places, and it should tell you something just about what kind of a versatile athlete he is. The fact that not only is being looked at in the NFL, but he's being looked at on both sides of the football. We're talking about a dual side of the football guy right now in DJ Johnson.
Well, you mentioned that the P word in relation to the NBA is potential, but the P word in the NFL is project, and that's certainly what DJ Johnson is. I mean, it would be a multi-year process for him to develop that terminology and learn the plays and everything like that for him to be a contributor to an NFL franchise as a linebacker. But I do see the fit from a physical standpoint, and if it's really something that he wants to go after, I mean, I don't know how he feels about like how determined he is to make a career in the NFL, but if it's something that he really wants, I could see him putting in a couple of years, not in the NFL, but just working out, doing some individual workouts and figuring out how to play the position and then giving it a shot.
Well, here's the thing about the Bears feeling confident enough in working him out on the other side of the ball. I mean, basically, that is a big-time testament to just what kind of an athlete he is and what the Bears really think about him. Because you're just taking a flyer on a guy. Hey, this was a big dude who played well inside in college hoops. Maybe he could be a tight end. We'll take a flyer. The Packers did it with Thomas Gibson, worked him out. And I'm like, okay, you know, we explored that. We uncovered that rock. We don't think it's going to work. We'll move on. It'd be pretty quick and easy to do that if you felt like you had enough guys at tight end. You feel good enough about your tight end position. DJ Johnson is just an unsigned free agent basketball player. But if you're actually willing to take a look at him on the other side of the ball, that's them looking at DJ Johnson and being like, man, this guy is such an incredible athlete. We've got to really try and do everything we can, rule out every possibility here to make sure that this is not the one that got away. I think that it speaks volumes about what DJ Johnson brings to the table.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to see if he can do something. And I mean, obviously all of us are wishing the best for him.
All right, as we roll on here in hour 2 of the show, You Can't Be Serious at 5:50. Biggest upset of the sports weekend that you did not know about at 5:40. When we come back, though, I was off the grid this weekend vacationing in Colorado. But just how off the grid, we'll find out next.